I make it a rule for myself never to be late to meetings. And what that means to me is that I show up at least a minute before the meeting starts. Sometimes 30 seconds, but always before the meeting starts. Almost always. But when I came to St. Anthony, I found that some people had a different definition of what it meant to be late to a meeting. They said, if you're not there 15 minutes before the meeting starts, you're late. And that's what the military teaches you. That's military discipline. So I had to learn a little bit different way of thinking about it. You know, the military runs on discipline. And discipline is the backbone of the armed forces. You don't fight a war every day, but if you have discipline, then you're capable of fighting a war any day. The epistle today from 1 Peter talks about discipline. He says, discipline yourselves, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith. Well, this letter is undoubtedly a baptismal sermon. Peter is talking to new Christians and he's trying to tell them what it means to be baptized, what it means to be a baptized person. He says, you have been given a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, you're ransomed not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So he says, be like newborn infants and long for the pure and spiritual milk, which will help you grow into salvation. So the whole letter is an exhortation about being baptized. He talks a lot about suffering in this letter, because apparently the church that he's writing to has suffered some persecution. Probably as Christians, believers in this new sect, they have been discriminated against. Maybe they have been unable to find work or sell their produce. Maybe they've been unable to live in certain parts of the city. Maybe they've even been arrested and thrown in prison. So he's trying to encourage them in this letter. I know that if I were in that situation, I might be tempted to fall away from the faith, or at least hang back a little bit, be sort of incognito. It's a temptation to fall away from your faith. So Peter says to the people, he says, I know you're tempted, but you need discipline to resist the temptation. Temptation often comes not in the light of day, not when you're with fellow believers, not when you're in church singing the hymns and saying the prayers and being surrounded by people who are like you, but it comes in the night when the roaring lion of temptation comes into your soul and you start to feel those doubts and temptation rises up to just sort of forget it all. Fears, questions come up. So to fight that lion, you need discipline. You need the discipline of the church, the prayer, the fellowship, the scripture, the hymns, communion. These are the disciplines of the church. Well, today is St. Anthony's Day, St. Anthony's feast day, and so we celebrate our patron saint, and we remember the founding of our church and who we are as a people. I'm told that when we were first founded, we were asked to choose a name for our church, and we chose the name Anthony and sent it in to the bishop and said, this is what we'd like to be called. And the bishop wrote back and said, well, there's actually no Anthony in the Episcopal book of feasts and fasts, but there is an Antony without the H. So you will be called St. Anthony of Egypt Episcopal Church. And that's who we've been to this day. Antony was a North African who lived in the 300s. He was born into a Christian family and grew up as a Christian. When he was about 20 years old, both his parents died, leaving him with the care of his sister and a large estate. But one day he was in church and he heard the gospel read that we heard this morning, where Jesus says, "Go sell everything that you have, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me." And Antony thought that that applied to him, and so he went and did exactly that. He sold the estate, all the lands, and all the property. He gave the money away, and he arranged for his sister to go into a convent. And he went out into the desert, and he lived by himself so that he could spend his time in prayer and meditation to God and purify his soul. Well, that was harder than he thought. You try to think of nothing but God and fill yourself only with thoughts of God, it seems like every other thought in the world comes rushing in. He thought about how lonely he was and how in the city there were lots of people to be around and he'd be surrounded by others. He thought about how foolish he was to go off into the desert and how it was just a wild goose chase. He thought about how hard his bed on the ground was and how simple his diet of bread and water was. And he thought about how nice it would be to have warm blankets and a hot meal. And he would dream. He would dream about becoming famous for being a holy man until he realized that no one cared about him anymore because he was out in the desert. He dreamed about living in luxury and having fine clothes and servants to wait on him. And then he realized he was just living in a mud hut far from anywhere. And worst of all, he dreamed about female companionship, and his fantasies filled him with guilt and shame, and he had to try to fight off all of that too. He was filled with temptation on every side. He went on like this for 20 years. And when he came out of the desert, he was purified. And people would come to him for advice and for healing. They looked to him for all kinds of things because they realized that his discipline had formed him into a Christian. You can't survive in the desert without discipline. He had to discipline himself every day. Haul the water. Make the fire. Say the prayers. Recite the Psalms. Meditate on the life of Christ. That's the discipline that Antony gave himself. Well, when I think of us being called by St. Antony's name, I wonder, what is it about Antony that we want to call on for ourselves? What is it about Antony that describes us as a parish? And I wonder if it might be the discipline that he had for himself. We understand what discipline is. We've been under discipline. We don't suffer from persecution like the people that Peter was writing to. We suffer more from irrelevance and apathy, probably, in this day and age. But we're like them in the sense that we are tempted to fall away from the faith. I don't know how many people there are in the book under baptized members that never darken the door. It takes a discipline to keep your faith. You know, the world says to us, your faith is private. You can believe anything you want as long as you keep it to yourself. And what that does, it makes our faith really small. And Bishop Rickle put out a video a couple of days ago about the inauguration. And what he said is, I identify primarily as a Christian. I'm also a citizen, But before I'm a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or a liberal, I am first of all a Christian. It is my Christian values that I want to stand up for. It takes discipline to remain steadfast in our prayers, to look to Scripture, to come together on Sunday. You know, there's a lot of restaurants out there that have a Sunday morning brunch that we could be at right now. They print the number of calories in the menu. 1,000 calories, 1,500 calories, 2,000 calories. And we come here and we get a little piece of bread, a little sip of wine. Not very many physical calories, but it packs a lot of spiritual calories. Well, the Christian faith is not just about discipline. It's not being grim Puritans all the time. There is also warmth and love, fellowship, the Holy Spirit, joy and passion. But like all good things, they don't come without some discipline. Recently, I was thinking about my fourth grade music teacher. My band teacher, Roger Roller. And I wasn't sure if that was his name or if I even remembered him rightly, so I Googled him, Roger Roller Music. And immediately, up he popped. It was his obituary. He died last July at the age of 93. And it said right there, he was a music teacher in Mary Kelly Elementary School, my school, and Truesdell Junior High School, where I went. And there are all these tributes to him, and I added mine. I remember in that school, in the portables out in Wichita, Kansas, he would be teaching us how to play our instruments. One, and two, and three, and four, and he had the patience of a saint to teach all those kids. We would have to go home with our instruments, and we had a little card I remember very well, and it had a chart on it, and you were supposed to put how many minutes a day you practice your horn. And I was supposed to practice 30 minutes a day. And when I'd bring it back, he'd look at it and he'd say, "What are all these zeros here? That's a goose egg." So what I learned from Mr. Roller was the discipline of practicing your music. But what I got out of him in the long run was the joy of music. So I hope that your faith is like that. I hope that the discipline of your prayers and your presence and your ministry will reward you in your faith and in your joy and in your ministry. Amen.